Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful today that you can come into the presence of the Lord? Amen. And His mercies are new every morning. Amen. You know that God has something special that He's prepared for each of us today. Amen. The crusty and dry formalism of worship is not the proper repository for the Holy Ghost. But when we come into His house in anticipation, when our heart is tender, when there's a yearning within us, then we can experience, amen, God in the measure that God wants us to experience Him. Amen. I don't want, amen, to just go through the motions, amen, of worship. I want to praise the Lord today with everything that is within me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to give my heart, my soul, my whole being to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him and honor Him, for He's a faithful God. Hallelujah. Our God is a faithful God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. If you would stand today, we want to use the time that we have remaining today to give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank everyone for being here this morning. Praise the Lord. To go to the book of Luke, the 5th chapter, verse 36, and we're going to read verses 36 through verse number 39. And He spake also a parable unto them: No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. Pray today that God would allow us to minister to you today, and our hearts and our lives would be touched. We want to just minister today on the taste of new wine. The taste of new wine. God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. Jesus, in speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes, taught them a parable about a garment and about bottles. There was something that was very important in speaking to them about these two things. He said, no man putteth a piece of a new garment into an old garment, or the rent is made worse, because the new cloth has not been pre-shrunk. And when that new cloth begins to shrink and it begins to take shape, then it pulls upon the old cloth that is already, it's already in whatever shape that it's going to be. It's already formed. It's already shapen. And so that rent that was meant to be patched or to be covered, it is made the worse, because you do not mix new cloth and old cloth. That they are not compatible. Just like you cannot mix law and grace. You cannot try to please God by trying to live by the letter of the old covenant. This was the center of what Jesus was instructing them of. And then Jesus said, you do not put new wine into an old bottle. You do not receive the new birth experience with an old mind or old covenant mindset, that the Bible says the letter killeth, but the spirit maketh alive. And so in order to receive the new covenant, in order to receive the promise of the Holy Ghost, they had to be removed from the old dispensation, and they had to be introduced into a new dispensation. The Bible says old things are passed away and all things are become new. And when we come to God, when we come to Jesus Christ as a Christian, we've got to leave the old ways. We've got to leave the world and of sin, and we've got to begin to walk in a new way. We've got to walk in the way of the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. But I want to minister today on a little bit different, from a little different point of view. I want us to think about a new wine as being a fresh anointing of God. That the new wine of the Holy Ghost, amen, we know the new wine, of course, was the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Peter said, these men are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But, amen, they were drunken upon the new wine of the Spirit of God. Amen. But I want us to think today about having a fresh anointing. Amen. Receiving a renewed experience in God. Amen. To desire a taste of new wine. At the end of the parable, that even though it is not mentioned in the other Gospels, in Mark or in Matthew, in Luke, that we find this verse at the end of the parable where Jesus says that no man having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith the old is better. You know, sometimes we get so accustomed to the old paths, the old way of thinking, the old way of doing things, that we sometimes restrict what God wants to do in our life. I think it's time, amen, that we begin to anticipate that God is going to baptize us with a fresh anointing, that God is going to do some new things, amen, in our midst and for us, amen, that we cannot even comprehend completely, because that they are so wonderful and they are so powerful that God wants to do these things. You know, reminiscing is something that we all are prone to do at one time or another. And I think that it's good to sometimes to reminisce. When I begin to think about the blessings of yesteryear, the blessings of yesterday, the blessings of the past, amen, it teaches me, amen, that my God is a faithful God. And it makes me want to give thanks unto the Lord for all of the things that He's done for me. And so in that regard, it's a good thing to reflect upon where we have been. Amen? But there is also a danger that if we dwell upon the past too long, that we will fail to recognize the things that God is doing for us in the present. I don't want to be mired in the past. Amen. So that I cannot truly appreciate, amen, the here and the now. It's wonderful to talk about our past victories. It's wonderful to think about where God has brought us from. But I get a whole lot more excited about where God is taking us to. Amen. He's not just a God of yesterday, but He's a God of the here and the now. Hallelujah. I believe that the church's greatest moment, amen, lies before us. We've not experienced the greatest revival. We've not seen the greatest miracles. We have not, amen, known the fullness of what God wants to reveal to His people. But we are yet to know. We are yet to experience. We are yet to participate in something that is marvelous to behold. Can you say praise the Lord? So while reminiscing about the past is a good thing, God forbid that we should be locked in yesterday. Amen. God forbid that our only testimony is what God used to do. What God has done. Amen. I believe that we're serving a God of the present day. I believe that the same God, amen, that answered our prayer yesterday. Amen. That He's here to answer our prayer today and tomorrow. Because He's a God, amen, of the past, the present, and the future. In thinking back on the past, time has a way of editing and revising our memories in such a way as to make the good old days seem vastly superior to our present day and even to our future. We call that nostalgia. With nostalgia, we look back and we reflect on where God has brought us from and the experiences that we have enjoyed. And sometimes we look upon those things with such fondness that we forget about the difficulties and the trials and the struggles that made those things possible. Amen? You see that our memories only want to retain what is good. Our memories want to edit out and to revise, amen, and free us from our heartaches and our disappointments and our struggles. And if we're not careful, we'll spend so much time reminiscing about the past that we fail to recognize the great opportunity that lies at our feet. That God, amen, wants to bring a revival, amen, to us today. Today is the day of salvation. We need to put everything behind us and we need to press for that high mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus, forgetting those things that are behind. Hallelujah. Let us press toward the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. Nostalgia has a way of causing us to become intoxicated. Amen. With the things of yesteryear. There are magazines that their success is due to the fact that people like to look back upon yesterday and reminisce about what was of the horse and buggy days, the days of the Model T Ford. And there's a certain degree of nostalgia that overtakes every one of us when we look back on our history. When we look back at the Brush Arbor meetings and how God enabled this wonderful gospel to spread across America and across the world, and there was a passion that was ignited in people's lives that made them want to evangelize and become missionaries to the world and to proclaim this wonderful truth. Those are great things, but sometimes we get so caught up in the nostalgia. We have drunk the old wine for so long that we forget that God, amen, wants to bless us with a fresh anointing, that God wants to do something for us today that surpasses what took place yesterday. We don't have to rest upon yesterday's accomplishments for this day. This is our greatest hour. God wants the church, amen, to have a taste of new wine. Hallelujah. We cannot cling to the old methods and the old ideas of past generations at the expense of rejecting new methods and new ideas that allow us to become relevant to this present generation. In every age, in every dispensation of time, amen, there have been men that had an understanding of the times. Amen. Issachar. The Bible says the men of Issachar, amen, had an understanding of the times. We need to recognize the hour in which we live, amen, demands that we have a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need, amen, to allow God to lead us and to direct us in ways that we can be most effective for the kingdom of God. We don't need to be locked into a mindset that restricts us and causes us to be rigid. Amen. So that we cannot receive, amen, the things that God would give to us and pour out upon us today. Amen. You can't put new wine into an old bottle, or else the new wine will cause the bottle to break and the wine to be lost. Sometimes new ideas and new methods are not very well received because we are so structured in our thinking that we cannot even imagine ever doing it any other way than what we've always done it. Wouldn't it be something if we were still driving a Model T Fords today? You know, the automobile was not something that just swept the world away at the very beginning. In fact, at the turn of the 20th century, there was a real competition between the horse and buggy and the horseless carriage. The streets and the highways of our cities were clogged with horses and buggies and cars all at the same time, because a lot of people looked with skepticism on the automobile. They thought that will never replace a horse and buggy, because a horse and buggy is just so much more reliable than a car. I remember my father-in-law telling me a story. He was raised in the mountains of West Virginia and had an old Model T that he would drive from house to the mine, and so he was one of the privileged ones that had a motorized form of transportation. And he happened to be going to work one day, and he saw a fellow worker walking along the highway, and he stopped to offer him a ride, and he told him to hop in. And he said, "No, Mr. Morton," he said, "I'm in a hurry, because you didn't get very far in one of those cars without getting the tools out or changing a flat tire. There was a lot of problems back in those days that had to be worked out." And so he couldn't accept a ride because he was in a hurry. But look today. Amen. The horseless carriage has become a means of conveyance that we consider a necessity today. It was a luxury at one time to own an automobile. It was kind of a novelty to have a horseless carriage. But over time, amen, it is proven to have been a wonderful invention. I want you to know there are some things that God is wanting to do in these last days. There are some things that God can do in these last days if we, amen, would be willing, amen, to abandon our old rigid mentality. Amen. Get rid of our old wine bottles. Amen. And ask God for a renewal of understanding, a renewal of faith, a renewal of anointing that God wants to pour into us. Amen. A fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. God wants to pour into us. Amen. A fresh anointing of revival. Amen. That would move our generation. We need a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost to free us from the constraints of institutionalized thinking. Amen. Sometimes we box ourselves in because we're not willing to think outside the box. We don't think God can do it any other way except the way that we've always done it. But I want you to know that my God is bigger than our ability to reason. God is bigger than my understanding. God is bigger than my human reasoning or wisdom. God's able to do things in a measure, amen, that is great and mighty and awesome. Oh God, help to free us, oh God, from the constraints that limit our vision and our ability to minister for the power of the Holy Ghost. But as long as we are content, amen, to drink old wine, amen, as long as we're content to drink the old wine of low expectations, we can never expect to receive the overflowing of apostolic power and authority that God is willing and able, amen, to pour upon us in this day and hour that we live. Amen. And I think back to what Jesus said, no man having drunk old wine will straightway desire the new. You know, we are, as human beings, there is a natural reluctance to resist change. In fact, the Bible says, amen, to be wary of them that want to change for change's sake. Amen? That some people, that they just want to change because they think change is good. Some changes is good, but there's some changes that are bad. Amen? There's some things I don't want to change. I don't want to change our apostolic message. I don't want to change our holiness, amen, standards. I don't want to change our apostolic Pentecostal worship. I don't want to change, amen, our desire, amen, to stand upon the foundation of God's holy word. Amen. This word of God, amen, is our final authority. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. But sometimes our reluctance to change, amen, is an indication that we're self-satisfied. Sometimes we just get rather comfortable, amen, in the present situation or the present circumstances, that we don't want to see greater revival, that we don't want to see a more effective ministry. We don't really want to reach the world, amen, if it means abandoning some of our old way of thinking. It's hard to get people to accept new things. Come on now, you still with me this morning? Amen. Jesus said it's hard to get a man to drink new wine, amen, when he's been drinking old wine. You know why? Because when you drink old wine, you get intoxicated. Because it's well fermented. It's fermented all that it's going to ferment. It's expanded all that it's going to expand. Amen. You just keep drinking old wine. Amen. You'll find yourself in a stupor. Oh, God, give us the taste for some new wine. Amen. Something that's fresh. Amen. From the altar of God. Amen. Our worship, amen, needs to be something that's spontaneous, that flows from our heart. It doesn't need to be something that's calculated. It doesn't need to be outward form and insincere repetition. Amen. The Bible says in the last days men would have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Oh, I believe, amen, that the Holy Ghost that God gave us is a powerful, amen, anointing, amen, by which we can do the works that He did. Amen. Jesus went everywhere preaching the gospel and laying hands on the sick and casting out devils. Amen. We need a fresh anointing. We need to drink the new wine of the Holy Ghost. Can you say praise the Lord? Because as long as we drink the old wine of low expectations, we're never going to receive that overflowing of apostolic power and authority. Oh, something that has to emanate from within us. Amen. The joy of the Lord needs to well up within us. Amen. We need to get excited about Jesus. We need to get excited about revival. We need to get excited about winning souls. We need a fresh anointing from heaven above. Can you say praise? Praise the Lord. God help us not to become intoxicated with the old wine of religious tradition to the extent that we would exclude, amen, seeking that brand new touch of His power. Oh God, don't let us become so content in our complacency that we cannot be moved, amen, to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. New wine demands new wineskins. Amen. There's no shortage of the new wine. But I wonder how many new wineskins that the Lord can find, amen, amongst His people. We need to change our expectation. We need to break up the fallow ground of our heart, because the carnal man resists any change. The carnal man, amen, doesn't like to fast. The carnal man doesn't like to pray. The carnal man, amen, doesn't like, amen, to be exposed and to be vulnerable. But when you step out on faith, amen, you just got to stand on the Word of God. It's a lot safer to just, you know, to stay where you're at. But if you're going to step out on faith and to begin to believe God for miracles, for healing, I believe God still performs miracles. I believe God, amen, can still open blind eyes. I believe He can still unstop deaf ears. Amen. He's given us power and authority over serpents and upon scorpions. I don't believe there's enough power in hell, amen, to stop the church, amen, from having revival, amen, once we have a thirst for the things of God. Oh God, give us a taste for new wine. Give me a taste for new wine, Lord. God, don't let me be content, amen, with the status quo. God, don't let me be content with my current prayer life.
Let me not be content with three songs and a testimony. Amen, and a sermon. We all pray and go home. But God, I'm tired. Amen, of rituals. I'm tired of being locked in. Amen, to low expectations. If you don't expect God to perform a miracle, then you're not likely to get one. If you don't believe in the power of God, amen, to cast out demons, amen, amen, you better, amen, beware, because the devil is real and his power is real. Amen. But if you believe in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, if you believe in the God of the first century church, hallelujah, amen, it's time that we, amen, begin to desire some new wine. Lord, amen, give me a fresh anointing. Oh God, amen, enable us, oh God, to employ new methods and new ideas, amen, to make us relevant to this generation. Amen, the Bible says, become all things to all men, and by all means, you might save some, whatever it takes to reach the world, whatever it takes, amen, to see revival, whatever it takes, amen, to see His will and His purpose accomplished. God, help me to break out of my mold. Help me to break out of the old skin of conformity. Amen, and let me be transformed for the power of the Holy Ghost. Can you say praise the Lord? God, I want you to have your way in my life. God, make me a new vessel. God, make me over again. Lord, and pour into me your Spirit. Pour into me, oh God, your anointing. Make me and shape me what you want me to be. Would you stand today? If today you desire to have Jesus Christ in your life, if you want more of God and less of you, if you want to, amen, to step out, amen, of the constraints of your carnality and step into the flow of God's Spirit, to be willing to stand up on His promises today, we invite you to come and to these altars and seek the Lord, because God wants to fill you today. God wants to give you an anointing of His Spirit. Amen. That's fresh and alive. That will be life-changing.